Good evening.
We'll close our eyes in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for this time Thou hast blessed us with. Thank you for ever being with us. Thank you that there is a gospel which can be preached. And dear Lord, we thank Thee for the good news of Thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that we might be saved. Lord, we keep each and every one of us at Thy feet. Lord, open our eyes, our ears, and our mind to Thy word, dear Lord. That, Lord, it may be not my words, Lord, but Thou speak through me. All this I pray in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's so good that there is still a gospel which can be preached, the good news. And I have over here to give you from the Word of God, the Bible. In the Gospel, according to John, the third book in the New Testament, the first verse states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." So whatever I'm going to say should be from this book. And this book is the truth. So let's go back to the beginning. Open our Bibles, if you have with you, to the first book, Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 9. We'll continue reading to 15 and 17 and 21 and 25. But when we are hearing the gospel, there are two questions which should be there in our mind. Why the gospel of Jesus Christ? What was there in this gospel? And second, what is the truth? We often hear these words again and again. What is the truth? Why Jesus Christ? And these two questions should be answered through this. Genesis chapter 2, from 7 to 9. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." We continue reading to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." There is a responsibility now. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, therefore, thou shalt surely die." We continue to verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now my bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." We read through this initial stages of the formation of earth, and I just skipped through this creation, but I took the most important bit which the Lord loved, the man and the woman. He took special time to create man, and out of the man's rib, he created woman. He gave them a responsibility to take care of the garden. But he gave them another responsibility, not to eat from one particular tree. We move to chapter number 3. From verse 6 and 7. Now, the first man's name was Adam and his wife's name was Eve. We read about what happened with Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We'll continue. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among us the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked. I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Satan came in the form of a serpent, and he tempted Eve, and he told Eve, This tree which the Lord has said not to eat of is going to give you wisdom. You're going to be one like God. And she got tempted. She ate a fruit of it and she gave it to her husband, Adam. He also had it. And as God walked by the garden, they both understood God is there, and they hid themselves out because they were naked. But the most important part was, as God asked them, Why did you eat of the fruit? They said, they took no responsibility of it. They said, Adam said, I didn't do this. The woman gave it to me. He asked the woman. The woman said, The serpent gave it to me. There was a lack of taking up responsibility. Sin entered into this world. Death entered into each one of us. No man will be spared of death. What it has to do with us? Now, this is long back. And as we read through the scriptures, let's go forward to the New Testament. What does it has to do with me, Robin? How does it apply into my life? I have not committed any sin. Oh, sure. Let's open Romans chapter 3. Now, this is the sixth book in the Bible. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. There is no man who has been born on this face of this earth can claim that he is sinless except the Lord Jesus Christ, about whom we are going to preach. And as we read through this particular verse, let me make it very clear. This is the word of God, and this is the word I am going to rely on. And who is Jesus Christ? And why am I talking about Jesus Christ? Let's get to know about Jesus Christ himself. So we open to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Welcome. Jesus Christ, who was to be born, was prophesied about him in the old scriptures, through the prophets, through the Old Testament time, when the nation of Israel was going through so many tribulations. There was a message about him, about a savior coming into this world. And we will read about who is Jesus Christ, and we get to know from his own father. From verse 13 onwards, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We got to know that Jesus Christ was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. And what was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming down on this face of this earth, walking as a man, had to go through John the Baptist, baptizing him into the river? It shows that God became man and he walked on the face of this earth. He did not commit any sin. That's the word of God says. We read through the Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 22, verse 66. Luke chapter 22, verse 66. Jesus Christ lived a time on this face of this earth, about 33 and a half years. He committed no sin. He was 100% God and 100% man. He did not commit any sin. He walked, he healed people, he spoke about the truth. We'll come to the truth. He spoke about the truth and he spoke to so many people. He went to the synagogues, he took their books, he spoke to them. He took out the prophet's book, he read about himself. But the people who heard him, many of them, their ears were stubborn. They didn't want to hear what he wanted to say. Their eyes were blind to look at a man who could speak from the word of God. Quite stubborn. And they found a way to trap Jesus. They go in the middle of the night, they trap him using one of his disciples. And they bring him to court. And this is the account that I'm going to read about. Jesus before the Sanhedrin. And as soon as it was the day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou the Son of God? And he said unto them, Yea, say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. The anger which was developed among all these people to hear that we have the Son of God with us. Now mind you, we read about God walking towards man in Genesis. He came towards man, he wanted to approach man, he wanted to have fellowship with man, but man hid himself because he committed sin. And here is Jesus Christ standing in middle of them and saying, I am. You say it. They knew of a Savior coming, but they were quite resistant of who he is. Now we will read about another man who gets to know about Jesus Christ, who gets a very close encounter with Jesus Christ at the last moments of his life. We'll read in the next chapter, Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 45. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 45. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it is about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Just before Jesus died on that cross for the sins of man, we get to know about two male malefactors, two men who were hanging by him, beside him on two other crosses. We get to know that one of them mocked. Through verse 39, we read, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. There are people standing under us, they are mocking us. If you are Christ, come down and take us also. The other, however, knew what he had done and what Jesus Christ had done. He knew exactly why he was hanging on that cross. He had done something wrong. He was a thief. He had done something severely wrong. That's why he was hanging on that cross. Whereas Jesus Christ didn't do anything wrong. He came, he died, because he spoke the truth. And we get to know about this first man who is like, I remember this story reading somewhere, and I can take it to this man, or the first thief, in this way, of a man, atheist, who was sitting under a big tree. And he was looking up at the tree, and I believe it was a pine tree. And he was looking at the pine tree and the glory of it swinging in the air, and he was having a monologue with God. God didn't speak to him. He was having a monologue with God, and he was looking up, and he was telling, God, you don't have much sense. You have had this big tree, and there are all these pine cones, very small in size, hanging all around these trees. But the big watermelons and the pumpkins, they are all on the ground. How can it be wise? If you need some wisdom, ask me. I'll help you. And he thought he was very smart. But as soon as he got up and he walked a few steps ahead, a small pine cone came and hit his head. And immediately he thanked God that it was not a watermelon or a pumpkin coming straight on his head. It's something similar today's day, that people like to mock God, thinking nothing will happen to them. It is not going to come at them for any good reason. But look at the second thief. He took the responsibility. He knew who he was. He was a thief. He knew why Jesus Christ is hanging. He had the last opportunity of his life to ask forgiveness face to face. And he took that opportunity straight away. You will be with me in paradise. He got that. And he took it. He got saved. The opportunity lies with each one of us. What we would do with Jesus Christ? What am I supposed to do? How can I be saved? There is a choice for you, my dear friend, to choose which side you want to be. John chapter 3, verse 16. If you are having trouble finding it, it's straight above me. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He did not come to condemn each one of us. He did the job. You and I cannot do this job of getting saved. It is not with us. Our ancestors did something. The first Adam did something really wrong. Death entered into this world. Jesus Christ rectified it. The choice is with you. Whether you want to be saved or not to be saved. It's all up to you. Is there a consequence, brother? Yep. Verse 36 says it.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
That's the last thing I want in my life, is the wrath of God abiding on me for any good reason. The choice is all yours.
Oh brother, if I become a Christian, is it going to be an easy life?
No. Let me make it very clear.
You won't find a Christian who has a relaxed life.
There are so many troubles associated with it. But what you have gained is never ever you're going to lose. That is the truth. The saved. I am saved. You will lose friends. You will lose family. You might lose everything in your life. But you can be well assured that God is with you.
I remember, sorry to put this personal note, but I remember my mom, when I got saved, she told me this story. This is long back. But she told me this story, Robin, you should remember, about a king's horse. And I keep that story close to my heart. It is a process how a horse gets selected to be the king's. And it is going to be the most powerful, most strong, most beautiful one. But out of all, it is the most obedient one. The process of getting that horse selected is the king's authority people would go around and find the best horses around the world. They would bring about 100 of horses together. And they go through this training process each day. And each day as these training processes go on, they have different kinds of whistles. And for each whistle, it means different. So there would be a certain type of whistle for drinking water, a certain type of whistle for jumping across, or certain type of whistle that there is food, certain whistle that it's done for the day. The horses get used to it with all these whistles. And there is a test which happens. The test is in such a way that one of the strongest, all the strong horses or 10 strong horses will be selected to go for an entire day. And those 10 horses will be trained separately because they have been selected separate. But what happens after the 10 of them are selected? They go through this entire process all over again for months together. And after going through this process once, months together, they are so used to the whistles
that just at the beginning of the whistle, they know it is for water or for food or for going for the day or for some other reasons. They know each of them very well. But on the day of test, all these horses are done. They are made to exercise. They are made to run throughout the day. They keep on going. They keep on going. They keep on going without a drinks break, without a food break, without any breaks. They keep on making the horse get tired so badly that towards the end, they hear a whistle for a drinks break. And all the horses, with all its remaining strength, run towards the river to take a sip, exhausted, famished. They just want to run towards the river. As soon as they reach the river, there is another whistle which goes off to say, come back. Most of the horses have dipped their mouth into the river. There will be one which will limp back and tired out of the cloud of dust. It walks back towards its master and becomes the king's horse. It's all about the obedience that he did, which gets selected. My dear brothers and sisters, the horse story is not about the works which can be done. The work has been already been done. But let me remind you that what you are going to gain with the word of God, it is free. Salvation is free. Rest everything, you have to pay a price. And I don't want to pay the price with the wrath of God. The choice is yours.